This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
The gospel message of Doomsday, Revelation 16. That has been the theme as we continue our study on Revelation, and now also our second message on the 16th chapter of this last book of the Bible. I have two broadcasts on this chapter. The first one was given last week, and the second now. In the first, we explained the passage, going through the text in some detail. And in the second message, we want to apply it in our lives, here and now. Just in review, in explaining this chapter, we are using the letters of the word doom. As we said, that is a good way to summarize and understand Revelation 16. It is all about the coming of the last judgment and final doomsday. With Revelation 16, we are told about the pouring out of the seven bowls, or vials, of God's wrath on the earth. The first letter of the word doom is D, and in this chapter you can find lots of destruction, disease, death, despair, dismay, dread, and just doom, 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 without let up. What God forewarns in His revelation of seals and trumpets and bowls of wrath, we know, is already evident somewhat in our times, and will become increasingly evident as we come closer to the last day. How important and urgent that you and I take most seriously the reality of God's certain outpouring of merciless wrath and righteous judgment against sinful, rebellious mankind one day. Do you take it seriously, my friend? Are you listening to the gospel message of doomsday as told in Revelation 16? Going to the second letter, O of doom, notice with me now also that all God's severe and final judgment on this earth is indeed only just and deserved. Only just and deserved. When you read about these bowls of wrath, you may ask, how can God be so wrathful and so dreadful in His punishments upon the wicked and unbelieving? Is this in fact not a question people ask? But you see, the text itself emphasizes very emphatically, in this very context of divine wrath and judgment, that God is only acting most righteously and justly, also in His holy anger against sin. In the context of the outpouring of the bowls of divine wrath, we read in verse 5, And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. And in verse 7 again, we read from another angel testifying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. You see, what is being clearly stated is that God's holy wrath against sin and those who oppose His gospel way and the only Savior of sinners and all who will not follow Him, well, God's wrath falls justly upon all such, without any question, in every case. Do you too confess and agree that God, coming in swift, sweeping, and final judgment upon wicked, rebellious mankind, is acting totally in a just and righteous way? When this is not acknowledged, it is due to failure to realize both the sinfulness and offensiveness of sin and the holiness and purity of God. All ideas of God which discount His intense, righteous hatred of sin bring out a person not really grasping the awesome grandeur of God, nor the terrific, inexcusable rebellion of a sinful people before Him. The last judgment will show and prove God's infinite holiness and His certain and most righteous punishment against all sinners who live outside of Christ as followers of the beast, Satan. Notice what else Revelation 16 so makes clear too, is how ongoing in defiance and unrepentance the wicked and unbelieving are. This is the third letter, O in doom. Think of the ongoing rebellion and hardness of heart against God. See all that is brought out in verse 9, 11, and 21. The people remain unrepentant. The terrible judgments of God don't lead the sinners in the last day to repentance and a humbling of themselves before God. But we read rather that people refuse to repent of their evil deeds, and they blaspheme God in continued revolt against Him. Here we see how hardened in sin man becomes. Even when God comes with fearful punishment for sin, yet they refuse to surrender to Him. The wrath of God by itself never will change and convert a person. It is only the grace of God that does that. For the last letter of the word doom, do you see with me from our text passage? When God's last judgments come and doomsday comes, then mercy will no more be shown, and misery will be all that the godless and worldly people will know. Forever no more mercy, but always forevermore only misery. Will you stop and think of this horrible judgment? How terrible to have the bowls of God's wrath heaped on you, and to be made to drink the cup of the wine of the fierceness of God's wrath. Too many in our day want to minimize the last judgment of God and even deny it altogether, and they scoff at the idea of the righteous wrath of God. Peter tells us it is God's long suffering towards this sinful world that gives reason for His delay yet before His last judgment and before Christ's final return. How many, alas, however, see this delay as just some reason and more reason only to persuade and delude themselves that the last judgment won't happen at all. Friends, it will happen. Read Revelation 16 and its doomsday description. It will be a time of destruction and only just doom, with tragically simply ongoing rebellion resulting in misery upon misery, with plagues exceedingly great leading to eternal hell for all the wicked and unbelieving. But now, dear friends, I remind you of our theme looking at this chapter, namely the gospel message of doomsday, Revelation 16. What is the gospel message with this chapter, and how does it yet proclaim the gospel, you ask? And how can this chapter be applied for Christians today? Should we not see the gospel, dear friends, in this chapter, in being forewarned well ahead of the great day of wrath to come? God gave the people in Noah's day 120 years to hear the preaching of the flood to come, telling about the ark of safety built to escape from it. All around the world there are warning signs given by the Lord of the pouring out of His bowls of wrath against this sinful world soon to fall upon this world. And now it is still time to escape from God's wrath. We are being forewarned. Let God give anyone, yes, even from our listening audience on the radio, even just 1 hour, 1 day longer, to turn from sin and to trust and follow Him, shows His gospel care and mercy towards sinners. Do you realize that, my friend? We are living yet in the gap between the first and second coming of Christ, and it is still a time for grace and repentance and salvation. As one commentary expressed it well, and I quote, "While this gap stays open, before the last bowls are poured out on an unrepentant world, the church is called to hold fast and to hold forth the testimony of Jesus, who drained the cup of wrath and suffering for all who turn and trust in Him." End of quote. We could say, indeed, this gospel of Jesus Christ so shines through in our text passage when you think of those words in verse 17, "It is done." Though the verb in the original is a little bit different, how these three words should remind us of another outcry from God with a loud voice, namely when Jesus said on the cross on Golgotha, "It is finished." Jesus' sixth word on the cross meant to say, "All is fulfilled in my bearing the wrath of God for sinners and offering up a perfect righteous sacrifice to God in the place of sinners." The gospel message is either people find refuge under the cry of Christ in our place, "It is finished," or people come under the full flood of God's righteous wrath against sin themselves, when in the last judgment the Lord also will cry with a loud voice, again saying, "It is done." which, my friends, will be the words spoken in reference to yourself. If you are not finding refuge with Christ, then the solemn reality is you are facing the just wrath of God for sin on your own, and it will bring you eternal doom. What reasons, therefore, to listen to the gospel, one and all? Notice how this chapter of doom gives yet so great encouragement to all who do believe in Christ and follow Him. We are told expressly that the torments of the seven bowls of wrath are only visited upon those who follow Satan in this world. These terrible, hopeless, hellish judgments are reserved for the ungodly, and just like Noah and his family were preserved in the ark when the floodwaters came, so God will deliver and protect His people in the day of His final unleashing of His wrathful judgment against sin. How exactly this all will go, no one of us can know or say, but definitely God will protect His people by His grace for Jesus' sake, even while others are consumed under His wrath. Surely thinking about this, won't all God's true people glory in God's amazing grace, that in and through Christ Jesus we are saved from sin and spared from God's just judgment against sin, since Christ has suffered that all to the full for all His people, even for as many as repent of sin and believe on Him? In the end, won't all God's true people say that God made a difference where there was and is no difference of ourselves, and to Him, God triune, be all the praise and the glory now and forever? Do you see the precious gospel in this alarming chapter, also in the gracious word of warning and the encouraging word of blessing for God's people in verse 15? Still describing the sixth bowl of wrath, and before the final bowl of wrath, Jesus Christ, as exalted Savior Himself, gives this loving warning note: "Behold, I come as a thief." With that, isn't the Savior saying, "Be sure to be always looking to Me, and depending on Me, and following after Me, and abiding in Me, and serving Me as your only Savior and Lord?" And then this holy encouragement is added in that verse 15: "Blessed is he or she that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You see, God here is urging His people in John's day, and still in our day, till the end: take care always to be needing the gospel, and loving it and living it through the grace and Spirit provided by God Himself. How good God is so to lead us in His tender love and care, and always to urge us onward and forward, upward and heavenward, to His praise by His grace. Without God's grace and Spirit initially, no one would become saved, and without His grace and Spirit continually, no one will stay saved. But God is faithful to His people, even for as many as always again hear His voice and follow after Him. What reasons for all true Christians to be so thankful towards the Lord, as revealed in the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you say too from your heart, "That is so true. We can't be thankful enough to our God for His great salvation, so rich and free"? Should we not say yet as one final application of this solemn chapter of doomsday, how it should awaken those of us who confess to be Christians, and yes, the Christian church altogether, to more zeal for gospel mission and outreach in our local settings and in the world around us? We need to proclaim through this earth headed to destruction, "Jesus saves! Jesus saves!" Are you persuaded of this as well? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord, including, yes, the gospel with the doomsday message of Revelation 16. Are you hearing that message? And if so, by God's grace, are you too seeking to relate it to others, while the Savior yet tarries for His second coming, and His gospel hand of mercy for Jesus' sake is still extended to all? Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the Internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.